Welcome back, accomplices. Thank you for joining us. As you already know, the Chad Daybell trial is still underway. This last week of witnesses testified against Daybell in the case involving the death of his first wife, Tammy Daybell.
On day 11, six witnesses took the stand. Their ties to the accused murderer seemed outlandish at first, but the prosecution had a plan. They were arguing that Tammy was by all means healthy before her untimely death in October of 2019.
The trial is expected to last another 4 to 6 weeks, and we will continue to follow the trial and give updates along the way. But speaking of updates, last week we unpacked the case of Sarah Boone, and it's kind of sounding like she may be representing herself because no public defender is wanting to work with her.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
I wonder why they don't want to work with her.
I don't know. She knows more than they do.
Yeah.
Apparently, all them attorneys appointed by the judge. No good. None of them.
We have a bunch of updates this time around. Last week, we posted on social media about Elias Huzar, the man accused of killing his ex-wife, underage girlfriend, and then fleeing to Mexico with his one-year-old son.
Elias was an ex-cop out of West Richland, Washington. As you guys know, Shayna and I also reside in Washington, but kind of far from West Richland. He was also accused of statutory rape of his girlfriend, who was only 15 years old when she was pregnant with his child. And he is also charged with forcible rape of another minor. So why was this former cop out on bond?
No idea. On Tuesday, April 23rd, Oregon State Patrol found Elias's car driving southbound on I-5 near Eugene, Oregon, and initiated a pursuit. The pursuit ended with OSP reporting that the suspect sustained a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
The one-year-old child, Roman Santos, was taken safely into custody by OSP troopers. So thank you to everyone who shared the post. I know we appreciate it, and I'm sure the child's family does too.
So we still have a lot of shit to get through today. Pun intended. Thanks again to the lovely Shannon for suggesting this case. She always has the best ones.
Is it another decapitation case, I presume?
More like decrapitation. So let's get to it. Okay, so first off, I will probably pronounce these names wrong, but February 28th, 1989, in a small village of Miyakuj. I was just saying it fine earlier. One second. I wasn't stoned earlier, that's why. Miyakuji, located in the outskirts of Japan, primary school teacher Yumi Tanaka had just returned to her teacher's housing after a long weekend. Her Tuesday, on February 28th, began like any other day. She headed over to Dulu Village Elementary School to start her day, and by 5 p.m., she was going to call it a day. After a quick toilet break, something caught her eye in the toilet. Down the urinal opening, there was a black shoe in there. So back in 1989, it was common for Japan to use, they called them squat toilets, that are directly connected to an individual small sewer tank with a U-shaped pipe, and they look exactly like what they are. It was basically just a hole in the ground that you would squat over to use the bathroom. So, Yumi bravely decided to check the sewer tank from the outside. There, she saw what was clearly a pair of bare human feet. She screamed and her colleagues came running, but the man in the pipe did not budge. When the police arrived, they tried pulling him out, but to no avail, as the opening of the outer pipe was only about 36 centimeters, which is just over 14 inches. It's like 14.1 or something. And the man was stuck. One thing was for certain, the man was no longer alive.
I want to know how he got in the shitter.
He was having a pretty shitty day.
Oh, God. Ain't that the shits?
Authorities later called for the fireman, who got an excavator and crane to dig out the pipe and cut it open. Curled up with his legs folded, the man was naked on his upper half. But he had a neatly folded coat pressed to his chest. He was facing the inner urinal opening, and only one of his shoes was found on the scene, near his head, which would be the shoe that she saw from the toilet. The forensic team had to clean the man twice, washing off the feces and foul smell. So, that would have been nice.
He crawled in there himself, didn't he?
Very likely.
That's some Shawshank Redemption shit.
The forensics concluded the cause of death to be hypothermia, as it was freezing cold in the dead of winter. There were no signs of forced trauma on the body, nor any indication that he was fighting off any assailant from being pushed into the pipe. Just a few scratches on his elbow and legs. He was believed to be dead since the 26th. So, dead for at least 2 days before he was found. Not a very smart thing to crawl in before the weekend. The man was quickly identified as Naoki Kano. 26-year-old Naoki worked in a nuclear power maintenance company, and he was an active community member of the village youth club. Naoki was last seen on February 24th, 4 days before being found dead. He left his house after letting his father know that he would be going out for a little while. Even though he did not return home that night, it did not alarm his parents, as Naoki was an adult who often went out. But when they were unable to contact their son for 3 days, they searched for him and found Naoki's car in a farmhouse parking lot.
Your car's swimming in shit.
The car still had its keys in it, but Naoki was nowhere to be seen until the next day, when Yumi found his body. His other shoe was found a few hundred meters from his car. How and why did he end up in the sewer tank? There's a couple theories that I was kind of able to find. Theory one is he was being a pooper peeper.
Pooper peeper.
As authorities could not find any definitive evidence of any foul play, they concluded his death as an accidental death by hypothermia and presumed Naoki as a pervert. He crawled into the pipe to peep at female genitalia.
Man, how lonely you gotta be to... I mean, the motherfucker was so horny, he crawled through a shit pipe in the middle of fucking winter to get pissed on.
Some people are into that, you know?
I mean, you know, I'm not kink shaming or anything. I know that people are definitely into that, but I thought a Cleveland steamer was bad. I wonder, I'm gonna Urban Dictionary while you continue on. I'm gonna see if there is a term for someone who crawls through a shit pipe. Maybe it'll be a pooper peeper. If anything, I'm just going to add that word to Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary.
While she does that. While it's unsure how close Naoki and Yumi were, they definitely knew each other. Some reported that Yumi was cheating on her partner with Naoki, while some reported that Naoki was a close friend of Yumi's partner, which I'm sure it could have been both. He could have been a good friend of her partner, and she was cheating on him with him. Naoki even helped Yumi track down the man who had been harassing/stalking her. There wasn't any evidence that reflected Naoki having such perverted tendencies, and his father reported that Naoki did not act anything out of the ordinary. The second theory I found is that he was murdered for political affairs. It was close to the general election of Dalu Village. The current and opposition had different opinions on expanding the Fukushima nuclear power plant into Dalu Village. The opposition believed that it would benefit the village economically, but the current village head was concerned about the health effects on the villagers. Naoki, the director of the sales department at the nuclear power maintenance company, once investigated the Fukushima nuclear power plant along with another colleague. Just a month before Naoki's death, his colleague committed suicide. Rumors have been that the two may have angered someone associated with the general election.
It was probably the Clintons, and then they had them killed by suicide.
Over 4,000 Dalu villagers requested a reinvestigation of the case, but it never happened. The case will remain a mystery and will never be open again as it passed Japan's limitation statute. Nevertheless, the discovery of Naoki Kano's body in Miyakoji reverberated through the tight-knit community, leaving a lasting impact on the residents. The shock and bewilderment that accompanied the revelation of such an unusual incident prompted a collective response from the community, conversations about safety, privacy, and the need for vigilance in small communities gained prominence as Miyakoji grappled with the aftermath of an event that defied comprehension.
Wow. So I'm a little confused. Because the theory where they say that, like, some people had reported that Yumi was cheating, like, on her partner with Naoki or whatever his name is. Would that mean that he, like, crawled into the sewer, like, if, like, the boyfriend came home or something? And then he got stuck and died there and she found him later? Oh.
Yeah. So I think that was brought up as kind of a maybe we'll blame her boyfriend type thing.
Okay.
Caught him cheating, so he stuffed him in a sewer. But it didn't really make sense because he didn't have any defensive wounds on him. I think he was just a pooper peeper.
So there is no such thing as a pooper peeper on Urban Dictionary. So we're going to just trademark that real quick. pooper peeper.
TM.
But I did find something called a scat kink. And I'm not talking about jazz, but it says a person who was aroused by poop. And then it says, dude, I'm so attracted to poop, I think I have a scat kink.
What a great example. Well, I think Naoki had a scat kink.
Maybe he had a scat kink. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely what it was.
So do you think they have regular toilets in Japan now?
Yeah, they do. Because I was trying to get like a visual, because in my mind I'm thinking of like one of our toilets, you know, I'm like, that wouldn't work if you were like, directly under
yeah
it.
That's
like,
what I was thinking.
So I googled like, it. I was like, Japan toilets, and they just look like normal toilets, except for all theirs are like eco-friendly minimum flush thing
and decorated with anime and Hello Kitty.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they use bidets more commonly than America does. But and then I was like, well, maybe it wasn't always that way. So then I was like, Japan toilets, 1989. And then, of course, the Naoki story kept popping up on all the links. So then I had to do images. And so then I finally found one of the squat toilets. And yeah, it's basically just a hole in the ground. It's got, I don't know, like little kids' potties, you know, for like, it's got the bump right there. So like pee doesn't splatter. It had like one of those.
Okay. So before the squatty potty, it was just a whole squatty toilet.
Indeed.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
No pervert.
Yeah.
What if he was, ew, you know what I just thought of? If he was in the sewers at the school, what if he was trying to look at little kids?
Yeah. I know, at first I was like, oh, this is just a fucking weirdo. And then I was like, no, he was more than a weirdo. Because it would have been not just Yumi's fucking ass that he was looking at. Would have been little kids, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking perv.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
So gross. That was a good one.
Yeah. I had no doubts it would be. I mean, Shannon hasn't let me down since.
Yeah. Or thanks, yet. Shannon.
Always with the zingers.
Always with the zingers. And I seriously thought I was going to be like a decapitated. Like, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for you to be like, and his head got decapitated while they were pulling him out of the pipe. And I was like, oh! But no. Nope.
Funny what that had been.
Oh, gosh. I love it. I love it.
We're not kink shaming Shannon.
We're not kink shaming you at all. Not at all. All right. So we have been tossing around some fun ideas to give you guys more content in these episodes. So starting next week, we will have random true crime trivia. In the meantime, we have a list of the top 10 states that have the most serial killer victims from 2023. I apologize. We did mean to share this list back on episode 3 and kind of just spaced it. But thought
it'd be fun.
We can
blame Jason for that. So coming in at number 10 is Washington with 396, which makes sense because like all the serial killers are from Washington. A good state, good state. Number 9 is Georgia with 407. Number 8 is Michigan with 430. Number 7 is Pennsylvania with 468. And number 6 is Ohio with 517.
Right in the middle at number 5 is Illinois with 693. 4 is New York with 706. 3 is Florida with 970. Number two is Texas with 1,011. And the state with the most serial killer victims in 2023 is none other than California with a whopping 1,816.
Also, it's kind of crazy to me that like serial killers are still like that active nowadays.
I know.
You'd think they'd, I don't know, be more diligent with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you would think that you would see higher numbers like back from like the 70s, 80s, even 90s, yeah. Just because modern technology, DNA testing. Yeah, literally everything. Like, you can't get away with shit in this country anymore.
Like, run a red light, they fucking catch me on camera.
They found the Golden State Killer with all this modern technology.
But that's all we have for you this week. Please join us again next week. Tara will have a case for us. And don't forget to hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or by emailing thickthighsmurdervibes@gmail.com.
Bye, guys. Pooper peeper.
Pooper peeper.
Fucking pooper peeper.